The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Rendell.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, we're off and running for another new week. We start our week here on Tuesday just because. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com on our TuneIn channel and the website, NicoleSandler.com. Tape delayed, but airing on the Progressive Voices Network from 6 to 7 Eastern these days. Glad you could join us. And it's starting out to be a busy week, as they all are these days. There's never a shortage of news, I'll tell you that. But somebody has a burning comment, I'm sure, because somebody called in right at the beginning of the show today. So let's hi, who's on the line?
She doesn't want to get a bed enough that it's going to be coming.
Hello?
You have now, for example, representatives from the Palestinian Authority.
Okay, whoever was there is, I don't know, but we'll just get right into what's happening because they weren't listening on the phone. The stream on my listen chat play page is still playing Progressive Voices. The tune-in channel is, but not the small black box stream on the page at NicoleSandler.com plays the show. So if you just go to NicoleSandler.com/listen-live, it should automatically start playing for you. And it should be the live show. If you click on the tune-in channel, that plays the Progressive Voices stream. So, all right, they're calling back. Hi, who's this? Hello? Hello?
This is a listener.
Okay, who's that? Who is this?
Oh, I was just trying to dial into your show to listen to it.
Oh, you can't do that on this show. I'm sorry. You can listen at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Sorry. I use the phone lines during the show, so I can't tie it up just for a listen line. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay.
Have
All
a
right.
great day.
Thank you. You
I
too.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right. So you never know. I work without a screener. I work without a producer. So you never know. Sometimes you just call in and it's the luck of the draw. Anyway, the week started off with a bang, the big news this morning. Well, we won't know the outcome of it for some time, but the day got started sort of at the Supreme Court, where the Masterpiece Cake Shop case had its day in court. Looks like Anthony Kennedy will be the swing vote. And there are I read differing accounts of it. One of the good ones, as he usually is, it came from Ian Millhiser at Think Progress, who said the headline was LGBTQ rights just had a horrible day in the Supreme Court, with the subheadline reading, "There are almost certainly 5 votes for the anti-gay cake baker, Jack Phillips." Not very encouraging. But then again, we really don't know what's going to happen. Here's a little bit of what Ian Millhiser wrote. "There's no way to sugarcoat the oral arguments in Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Civil Rights Commission, a landmark Supreme Court case asking whether a religious baker who objects to same-sex marriages is allowed to defy Colorado's anti-discrimination law. Justice Anthony Kennedy, the key swing vote and the only conservative on the court who has shown much sympathy for LGBTQ rights, appears almost certain to side with Jack Phillips, the baker, in this case." But then he goes on to say, though there is a chance that Kennedy could side with Phillips on narrow grounds, Masterpiece Cake Shop could potentially give religious conservatives sweeping power to engage in discrimination. Phillips appears likely to win despite fairly inept lawyering by his attorney, the Alliance Defending Freedom's Kristen Wagoner. For most of her time at the podium, Wagoner seemed to tie herself into knots, unable to explain which individuals should be exempt from civil rights laws and which ones should not. At one point, she even whiffed at a softball pitched to her by staunchly conservative Justice Samuel Alito. I'll post a link to this article on the blog where I put the podcast at NicoleSandler.com. Okay, I guess for some reason, I know what's going on. And it's my fault. We are still running. Okay. All right, now it's going to be at my show on NicoleSandler.com. I forgot to switch over. I believe I fixed it. So the audio stream should be my show and not Progressive Voices. I see what I did there. That was operator error. So we are now live at NicoleSandler.com as well. Sorry about that. So anyway, here we are looking at waiting for the outcome from the Supreme Court. And though it'll be a while, people, at least on Twitter, were not holding out much hope that that things will be the way they are. You know, my daughter and I were sitting watching TV this morning and she was asking about the case. And at 18, she's, you know, she's becoming aware of the world around her. And this was a question she's been struggling with because we were watching Velshian Rule at 11 o'clock this morning on MSNBC. And one of them brought up an alternative scenario whereby what if you owned a bakery and somebody from the Klan came in and they wanted a cake celebrating the KKK? Would you have the right to say no? And although I don't really like the analogy between Klan members and the LGBTQ community, it's discrimination. And, you know, my daughter would want the ability to say no to the Klan member who came in wanting a cake. But she realized that you don't want to set civil rights back, you know, half a century or more. So it's a tough question. You're right. They're not a religion. Thank you. Gotta laugh. They are not a religion, but neither is one sexual proclivities, one's sexual orientation. The question here, though, is if your religious beliefs can prevent you, can keep you from having to serve a certain segment of the population that you object to. Well, why does it have to be religious beliefs? Can it just be moral beliefs? Because my moral beliefs have me firmly against the KKK. I don't know. When Laffy's here, we can talk about that. There's a lot of other news going on today from out of the Mueller investigation. Mueller has reportedly asked Deutsche Bank to hand over some of Trump's financial documents. By far, most of his loans came from Deutsche Bank. So this tells us that this investigation is getting close to Trump. There's also word that Trump may hold a press conference as soon as tomorrow noonish to talk about his plans for the U.S. embassy in Israel and whether or not he will move it from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Already, let me see if I can't find the notes that I took let's see. The New York Times just tweeted out, President Trump told Israeli and Arab leaders he would recognize Jerusalem as the Israeli capital, upending U.S. policy and risking unrest. Already there have been days of 3 days of rage called for the area, and the U.S. government is warning its people in Israel to stay away from crowds, certainly stay away from any U.S. government organizations. This is not going to be a pretty thing. There's so much more going on. You know what? Let's do this. Let's check in with what's news, and then we'll get Gotta Laugh on the line, and we'll continue our look at the day's news via Twitter and Laffy's tweet spot. Okay? All right.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Supreme Court has given Donald Trump the go-ahead to implement the newest version of his travel ban policy in its entirety. Lower court rulings had exempted from the travel restrictions foreigners with bona fide family or business or educational ties to the United States. But the justices issued a stay on Monday that allows Trump to carry out the new policy even on those with U.S. connections, at least for now. The third iteration of Trump's travel ban sought to limit, to varying degrees, issuance of visas for travel to the U.S. by citizens of eight countries, six of which are majority Muslim. Two liberal justices, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor, indicated they would have denied the Trump administration request to fully implement the policy, which Trump issued by proclamation in September. Donald Trump has officially endorsed Roy Moore in his Senate race in Alabama.
In a statement, Trump said Democrats' refusal to give even one vote for massive tax cuts is why we need Republican Roy Moore to win in Alabama. The president also called Moore today and said, according to a tweet from Moore, "Go get him, Roy." Just got off the phone with President Trump, who offered his full support and said he needs a fighter to help him in the U.S. Senate. Now, Trump all but endorsed Moore last month after several women told The Washington Post that Moore pursued them when they were teenagers and he was in his 30s.
Trump's endorsement of Moore prompted the RNC to re-enter the state and support Moore's candidacy as well. The special election in Alabama is scheduled for next Tuesday, December 12th. Representative John Conyers of Michigan, the longest-serving member of the House of Representatives who is facing multiple allegations of sexual harassment, won't seek re-election in 2018, according to a relative. Ian Conyers said that his great-uncle would serve out the remainder of his term, which ends in January 2019, and then retire. Ian Conyers said he will run for his great-uncle's seat. The president was in Utah Monday to sign two presidential proclamations, shrinking the size of Bears Ears National Monument by more than 80% and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument by almost half.
Therefore, today, on the recommendation of Secretary Zicky and with the wise counsel of Senator Hatch, Senator Lee, and the many others, I will sign two presidential proclamations. These actions will modify the national monuments designations of both Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante. As many of you know, past administrations have severely abused the purpose, spirit, and intent of a century-old law known as the Antiquities Act. This law requires that only the smallest necessary area be set aside for special protection as national monuments. Unfortunately, previous administrations have ignored the standard and used the law to lock up hundreds of millions of acres of land and water under strict government control. These abuses of the Antiquities Act give enormous power to faraway bureaucrats at the expense of the people who actually live here, work here, and make this place their home.
A group of environmental and conservation groups sued Trump and Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke in federal court on Monday, alleging that they don't have the authority to reduce the size of Grand Staircase Escalante. A similar suit over the decision to shrink Bears Ears Monument is expected by a group of Native American tribes in Utah. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has abruptly reversed course on a bail agreement his office struck with Paul Manafort's legal team last week that would have allowed him to be released from GPS monitoring. CNN's Jim Sciutto has more.
Here you have Paul Manafort, a little more than a month after he was charged with multiple crimes relating to the work he did for the pro-Russian former president of Ukraine, was found to be ghostwriting an editorial in violation of the terms of his bail and doing so with a Russian who has ties to the Russian intelligence service. And he was working on this editorial as recently as just this past Thursday, just a few days ago. Now, I'm going to quote from the judge's statement during the plea agreement. He said that his lawyers and prosecutors have asked him to, quote, refrain from making statements to the media or in public settings that pose a substantial likelihood of material prejudice to this case. His lawyers, the special counsel's office, say that doing this editorial with this Russian known to U.S. intelligence is a violation of that. So he stands the possibility of losing some of the privileges he has from this deal, including being freed from house arrest, being freed from GPS monitoring. That, of course, was in exchange for him putting up $11 million in property as a bail, because the prosecutors consider him a flight risk. That's why they made him do it. So just in the midst of negotiating that, he gets those little pieces of freedom here. But then from the prosecutor's perspective, has violated the terms of that agreement with really something that you would think would be an obvious thing not to do. I got the news.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, now heard Tuesday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Voices Network, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate. And before we get Got a Laugh on the line, I need to update one of the stories. I talked about John Conyers, who his grandnephew said, or his great nephew, whatever, said he would serve out the remainder of his term, which ends in January, and then retire, or January 2019, and then retire. It seemed like on a radio interview this morning, John Conyers said, "I'm retiring effective today."
I am retiring today.
Today.
And I want everyone to know how much I appreciate the support, the incredible, undiminished support I've received across the years from my supporters, not only in my district, but across the country as well.
And he endorsed his son to replace him. We'll see what happens there. Okay, you know what time it is now, right?
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, yes, every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh, and recount the day's news as gleaned from Laffy's Twitter feed and more. So, hello?
Yes, you've reached the GOP tax scam hotline.
Okay.
Press 1 if you think victorious Republicans and their guy Trump will be spiking the proverbial football, because our health insurance companies will be spiking our premiums.
Yeah.
Press 2 if you think the other big deficit that Republicans can take credit for is the one in their collective mental capacity. Press 3 if you think the Dow Jones average is the only thing Trump's been able to get up in years.
I'd say
have a
so.
Nice day.
Meanwhile, it's something that most normal people in this country don't care about. It's what Trump, gauges his success and failures on, the Wall Street numbers. But most of us don't have investments in the stock market.
Right, but he's convincing his idiot followers that if the stock market is up, he's successful.
Right.
He as an economy, type of success. They don't know that most people don't invest in the stock market, and most of the people that do have way more money than they do to spare to invest. So if he puts that up on the bulletin board as a win, they believe him.
Right. I get it. And they look at that as an arbiter of, what's working in the economy. But it's
right.
a fake. It's fake.
As Elaine Bennis on Seinfeld would say, fake. I don't know if you remember that, but she was faking orgasms.
Oh.
That was her punchline when Jerry Seinfeld was astonished that she faked all her orgasms with him.
Yeah, well, it's still the best scene in anything having to do with fake orgasms is When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, yeah.
That whenever I hear a reference to a fake orgasm, that scene, that diner scene, comes popping back into my mind.
Absolutely. That was just fantastic.
Ah, and here we
are
talking about fake orgasms.
So we've got like a total disaster in so many ways this week. I have been screaming on Twitter. I've been, yelling at the TV, just so many horrible things going on. We can start doing TweetSpot. I have a few from today that we can start with. I figure if we go backwards, it's usually easier because it's fresher on everybody's mind. And then we can hit yesterday's.
Okay. All right. Then let's do it.
Welcome to my TweetSpot.
Before we get to Twitter, the tweet spot, I should, and it's all over Twitter too, the fires, and people know you live in Southern California. How far are you from the fires?
I'm probably about a half hour away. There are three of them now.
Oh, God.
I'm about maybe an hour away from one, half hour from the Ventura County one maybe. And then there's another one that opened up on Route 5, around Route 5 somewhere, which is kind of, if you think about Magic Mountain,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of, you know, along that long
wow.
freeway that I just saw before I came on. So I don't know the details of that yet, but the big one is out by me, and it is so windy. We had to take in a bunch of our stuff that was outside. It was blowing all over our, you know, like our furniture, our you know, plant things that
wow.
are in pots, blowing all over the yard. The wind woke us up. It was so loud, and we have double-paned windows, so you know, it's not that easy to wake us up through those. And there's smoke. Well, now the sky looks clear, and I'm looking at it right now, but maybe an hour ago it was all smoky, and the sun made the sky and the whole day look eerily yellow, you know, that kind of uh-huh. a golden glow. So I'm used to this. It's fire weather. We're going to be getting ashes flying all over the place. Lawrence O'Donnell tweeted that he's in Santa Monica, 60 miles away from the Ventura County fire. He went to the store to get one of those masks to put on over mm-hmm. your face, and they were sold out.
Wow.
There's ash everywhere wow. in Santa Monica. So it depends on which direction the wind is blowing.
It's scary. I remember I lived in Santa Monica Canyon for a while when there were big fires in Malibu, and I lived right
yeah.
just like a block off the beach in a really mm. funky, cool little apartment. And I remember walking out, you know, to Pacific Coast Highway and seeing the fires coming down PCH and thought, I got to get out of here, and threw some
yeah.
stuff in the car and left.
Well, luckily I'm away from all that. I'm in, you know, a real populated area, and I'm not near any, I'm kind of near high fire zones, but not where they should affect me unless for some reason a spark would fly over into our neighborhood
mm-hmm.
and that would be some kind of fly, you know, but it could
right.
happen.
It could. Well, I'm knocking on wood laminate that.
Yeah, exactly. But this fire so far is way far north, and it shouldn't bother us too much,
okay.
except for, you know, the weather conditions.
The air, right.
The air is, yeah, I don't even want to think about the air. Tomorrow it's going to be worse. And the wind is going to keep up for the next two or three days. So we're not out of the woods by any stretch. And the fire is under zero containment. It hasn't even begun to be contained. So this is going to go on for some time. And it's already, there's hundreds of thousands of evacuations and acres already burned, just like at least 300,000, I think. I don't remember. I'd have to go look up the stats, but
it's a
bad
big one,
already.
Right. Big, or three. I can't believe there's three now.
There's three, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I expect there'll be more.
Mm-hmm.
This is really bad wind. This is worse wind than I've seen in some time. So, yeah, it's relatively warm here. So I expect there'll be more fires breaking out in all these areas, especially because, you know, even though we got over the worst part of our drought, we had some rain last year, we're expected to have less this year because of the melting Arctic and all that stuff. It actually affects whether we get rain down here.
Everything is affected by it. Everything. You know, my non-scientific mind doesn't quite understand it, but everything is affected by climate change.
Yeah, everything. And people don't realize that. So, you know, you can be affected thousands and thousands of miles away across the world, and it will affect you, people.
That's
so don't
right.
laugh it off.
Nope.
Anywho, all right. So, here we go. Ed Krasenstein, or Stein, a journalist, he said, Roy Moore was fired twice as a judge for breaking the law and violating the judicial ethics code. Roy Moore has been accused of molesting teenage girls. This man won't be tough on crime. He is crime.
Good point. That election,
well
said. By the way, is 1 week from today, that special election in Alabama. And what's really disconcerting is Trump comes out and finally gives him a full-throated endorsement. And the whole RNC follows suit. You know, the RNC, and you know, had pulled its joint fundraising agreement, and they had pulled out of the state, and they weren't helping, they weren't doing anything. And now they're back in. Mitch McConnell is saying now that we'll have to leave it up to the people of Alabama.
I have something to say about that. I think I have my own tweet up coming up next.
Okay.
This is the one I want to read you. But in terms of the RNC, they're trying to kind of squirm out of it by saying, oh, see, we're only giving $50,000. We're not really. No, you're supporting him. You were outwardly supporting a child molester. And of course, sexual assaulter Trump is doing the same. And we expect those two to pal around, of course. But the RNC, I realize, you know, they're supposed to follow Trump's lead, but they could actually do something, I don't know, moral and not do that and not support more. So I don't care what they say. They're supporting him.
Of course they are.
Yeah, I mean,
they can't have it both ways. Now they're all supporting them. Patton Oswalt here. I've got a tweet from Patton Oswalt who said,
wonderful.
Democrats
have
forced Representative John Conyers to step down. Good to see them doing the right thing. I'm sure the GOP would do the same if someone in their ranks were even worse, like a child molester.
Perfect. Well, this morning, Vice President Pence, his secretary, was on MSNBC. And he was, you know, really sticking up for all the things we are all sick of. And he said and he was talking about the election in Alabama. And he said voters should decide whether he didn't say child molester, but Moore should hold office because it's not his place to tell them what to do. But meanwhile, they don't mind telling, gays, women, every other possible group you can think of. They don't mind telling them what to do. They don't mind telling, you know, a baker doesn't mind telling a gay couple what to do.
Nope.
And nobody ever brings that up. They may chastise these people, like, you know, I think it was, I don't remember if it was Andrea Mitchell who was interviewing him, but she was pretty tough on him. I was glad that, you know, to see that she stood up to him. But she never said, well, you guys tell people what to do all the time.
Mm-hmm. No.
No one ever says that.
That's true. We
very,
do. They're not listening to us, sadly.
Well, we got to be louder then. So Phil Elliott, who is with Time Politics, he's a correspondent, he said, today's installment that there really is a tweet for everything. And he retweets Trump's tweet from February 2014. Russia beat the United States in the Olympics. Another Obama embarrassment. Oh. Isn't it time that we turn things around and start kicking ass?
Oh, God. Meanwhile, you heard about Russia being kicked out of the Olympics in 2018.
Yeah, that's why doping. That's why he posted that.
That's funny.
Yeah, except for the good athletes, the ones that never did nothing wrong, they're going to still be allowed to do to compete in a couple of things.
But in a neutral suit, like in a, they won't be representing the Russia,
right.
Which
exactly.
Would be weird.
Yeah, it is weird. That is weird. Paul Van de Water, who is with Center on Budget Policy, Health, and Social Security Issues, he came out with an interesting tweet. Moody's Analytics accused top editor at National Enquirer, other gossip publications, of sexual misconduct in the newsroom.
Shocker.
What do you know? Anyway, Moody's Analytics calls the tax scam bill a fiscal mistake, in quotes. Tax cut at full employment will prove inflationary economy, quote, likely headed for a boom-bust cycle, and this expansion could end sooner than it had to, unquote.
Okay.
That's Moody's. So, well, yeah, piling on to all the other groups that have said similar things. Okay, what's this one? Yair Rosenberg over at Tablet Magazine, he said, this is how you write a headline. And he's quoting the Times of Israel, quote, accused child molester Roy Moore accuses Soros of sexual agenda.
Oh, God.
That's how you write it, though.
I see.
Yeah. At least call them child. Instead of just saying, you know, Roy Moore accuses Soros of blah, 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 which he's been doing. Call him what he is, an accused child molester.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's more than accused, but okay.
Right.
Our buddy Cliff Schechter, he said, so he's quoting a tweet by Chuck Todd. And Chuck Todd said, wish more folks would focus on the policymakers and not get lazy and simply blame the media. And Cliff Schechter answered him, I wish more media would focus on policy and not get lazy and simply cover horse race politics.
Ooh, snap.
Guess who's going to get blocked by Toad?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so that came up. Danny Zucker, who is executive producer on Modern Family, he said, I'm old enough to remember when the Republican Party was more outraged by grown men molesting teenage girls than whether or not people said Merry Christmas.
That's true. I remember that, too.
Me too, and we're not all that old. I mean, we may be older than we want to be, but we're old enough to remember that, and we're not that old.
Right.
They're such hypocrites on just about every topic we can discuss. it's embarrassing to even have to bring this up. We shouldn't have to say any of this because it is so obvious. And yet there are so many people who would still vote for these hypocrites.
And they do.
Yeah.
Right.
It's terrible. All right. Frank Conniff, who is an author now, he bills himself as an author now.
No, he does.
One of the cornerstones of GOP policy is ensuring that all men have access to safe and legal child molestation.
Say that again?
He was making a joke. One of the cornerstones of GOP policy is ensuring that all men have access to safe and legal child molestation.
Okay. All right.
So let's march for that.
Yes. Watch out, though, because if you make sarcastic, you know, biting jokes like that, you could get banned from MSNBC.
Oh, ba-dum-bum. Yeah. Yeah. I've been tweeting about that a lot.
Yeah, I did
and
today,
I had,
too.
I had some little troll bot counter me by calling Sam Cedar a child molester.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Sam Cedar was fired from, you know, he's a contributor. When you hear them say on MSNBC or CNN that so-and-so is a contributor or an analyst, it just means they get paid for these appearances. That's why you see some people on a lot, because they're being paid and they use them. But Sam Cedar, who I used to only see on Chris Hayes' show anyway, has been fired even though his contract's not up for a few more months, because he sent out a tweet about 9 years ago. The tweet read, "Don't care regarding Polanski, but I hope if my daughter is ever raped, it's by an older, truly talented man with a great sense of mise-en-scene," which...
it was a parody tweet and, or a satire, whatever you want to call it. And it was among a series of tweets that called out Polanski and you know, firmly said how he felt about it, about child rape and child molestation. There was no two ways about how he felt. And so that one tweet was isolated.
And it was isolated by the guy who pushed the Pizzagate conspiracy, this Mike Cernovich guy, who he actually, and I'm drawing a blank, but he was implicated in something recently where he called attention to, and I want to say Charlie Rose or somebody, he was one of the people responsible for calling out one of the bad guys.
Rape apologist Cernovich. I'm reading a headline from Media Matters. Let's see what he apologized for. Previously, have you guys ever tried? I'm trying to find what he was called out for.
He's been called out for a lot of things, but he was the Pizzagate guy. But
but I'm talking about
he's trying to cost Sam Cedar his you know, livelihood. He's trying to, you know,
he's doing everything he can to. Yeah.
Right.
He's trying to get the sponsors to drop out from his site. I wish I could find though what the specific thing that you and I were just referring to, what his
did something good. I mean, it's something that he called out one of the bad guys, and I can't remember what it was. Maybe somebody in the chat room.
I can't find it right now, but yeah.
Right. But basically, he totally misrepresented what Sam Cedar was getting at with that tweet. You know, it was a highbrow joke, and so it goes over the heads of some people.
Intentionally. That's willful ignorance of somebody, you know, being using dark humor to make a point. That's
of course
he knew. Yeah.
Right. But for MSNBC to fire him because of that
is
just unconscionable. So Ryan Grimm, of all people, who is now with The Intercept, put up a petition. I usually don't sign online petitions, but that one I did.
Oh, I did too. And I've been careful about what I sign these days too, ever since you started talking about, I mean, a long time ago, about how they just basically use your signature for their email
mailing lists. Right. You get on mailing lists that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're already on their mailing list, then why did they, keep...
Well, this is an actual petition that they're going to send over to MSNBC. So for that, it's all right. I'll sign that because this is bullshit.
So I'm looking at just, Huckabee's, she's doing her White House lying session, and they still believe that the Mueller investigation is going to end any second now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm looking at Chiron's. I mean, that's not the quote. The quote was very soon or whatever. More allegations, troubling, but Trump's not going to support a Democrat. Oh, well, of course not. That would be terrible. Oh, God. All right. Jon Favreau, Crooked Media founder.
Right.
Funny, clever guy. Said, "Don't let this one go down the memory hole. The Republican Party is so hungry for power that they fully embraced an alleged child molester who believes homosexuality is a crime and that Muslims shouldn't serve in Congress.
That's right.
And that women shouldn't have the right to vote. Okay. So now I'm done with today's.
I've got one that I just saw that's from this press briefing or White House lying session, as you like to call it. It's Christina Wilkie from CNBC, who's quoting Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Quote, "The news reports that the special counsel has issued subpoenas to financial institutions are completely false." So who's lying?
Right.
Because we've heard the stories about Deutsche Bank and I mean, that's a real story. Unless I see a retraction in every publication out there, I tend to believe the news media over Sarah Sanders.
Oh, yeah. Fox was tweeting that that they weren't being subpoenaed. The Deutsche Bank wasn't being subpoenaed. I don't know where they got that from, but that's what they
probably
were tweeting.
Trump. Totally. They're totally not. Not only are they being subpoenaed, yes. They're totally not being subpoenaed.
Totally not. Yeah. Just like he's totally not a child molester. All right. So starting with Red Raccoon, who's in the resistance, who's an activist, nobody that I know personally, but, you know, I saw a tweety. Senator Chuck Grassley, "I don't drink. I'm married. The last movie I went to was a year ago. I spend my money on food, clothing, and childcare. Thanks for making assumptions about me and basically calling me a lazy drunk who buys prostitutes. Signed, an average American."
And that was in response to a comment that Grassley made saying that people who I can't remember what it was exactly, but people who don't vote Republican or something, or people who don't make investments. That's what it was. People who don't have investments, I guess, in the stock market are you know, spending money on booze and women and things
movies.
Like that. And
yeah,
movies.
It's people who don't invest.
That's what
are
it was.
Spending money on booze, and women and movies. Because, you know, that's what you and I spend on.
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When I go to you know, the market, I make sure I buy women. I squeeze them first to make sure they're right.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And then I buy them.
Yes.
I weigh them first to make sure I'm getting a good deal.
Okay, that's good, because most women don't like to get on the scale.
No, it's very embarrassing for many, but, you know, because that's what I invest in.
I see.
Women.
Good to know.
All right. Mikhail Jolette. I love saying that name, even though I have no idea how to pronounce it.
I think it's Michael.
Michael?
I think it is. I think he just spells it, you know, creatively.
Oh, I see. Okay. The president formally endorsed a child molester today. He did this so that the child molester could support a Republican tax plan, which takes money from cops, firemen, and nurses, and gives it to to Goldman Sachs. He calls this draining the swamp.
Yeah, he does.
What a sicko. What a bunch of sickos are out there. Just sick. Just backwards. And even if they don't believe a word that they're peddling to us, that makes them even sicker.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing it to totally exploit. I mean, it just makes me physically ill. All right. So Brian Beutler, I always call him Beutler, which I know better.
Yep,
I don't know why I do that when I'm on the show, but I know it's Beutler. I've known it for years. He's from Crooked Media. He says, "Future Trump, I didn't know lying to the FBI was a crime when I tried to protect Flynn. Past Trump," this is from July 2016, "Crooked Hillary Clinton lied to the FBI and to the people of our country. She is so guilty. But watch, her time will come."
Unbelievable. This whole thing about the tweet this weekend was so weird. So Trump sent out a tweet that said, "I had to fire Flynn because he lied to the VP and to the FBI." That was the line that was in question because allegedly he didn't know that Flynn had lied to the FBI at that time when he fired him. And so now the lawyer came forward and said he actually wrote the tweet. And
which is even worse.
Yeah.
Because as one lawyer said, I think it was Jed Sugarman last night, that means he was colluding with Trump. And they both now are in legal jeopardy.
Right.
It was something like that. Yeah.
And so, from today's press briefing, again, Kyle Griffin, who he's a producer on The Last Word, he said, "Sarah Sanders says that the White House still considers Trump's tweets to be official statements."
Right. So no matter who put it out there, and it has not been taken down, that tweet, and it has not been amended in any way, that tweet stands as an official statement from the president. Mm-hmm. I hate using that word in connection with him, so but that's what he is right now.
Yep.
So it stands, and no matter how you want to try, and first of all, what idiot lawyer would tell him to, even if, you know, if this lawyer is telling the truth, then he's the worst lawyer in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, but Trump's paying him, or I should say his donors are paying him. Wasn't he paying his legal fees out of his reelection coffers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Renato Mariotti, he's running for Illinois Attorney General. And you've all seen him on the TV. He said, according to CNN, White House counsel Don McGahn, or Don McGahn, depending on who you are, told Trump that Flynn misled the FBI and should be fired, quote, before Trump told FBI Director James Comey to drop the investigation against Flynn. That explains why Trump's lawyer are worried about obstruction. This is from his legal viewpoint.
Okay.
So that just, you know, I just started taking down tweets because all this was new when I was taking down these tweets.
Right.
Just so you know, some of them may seem a bit dated now. So Kyle Cheney, or Cheney, depending on how you say it, Politico.
It's Cheney, Trump's, not Cheney. Cheney. It's Cheney,
Cheney,
not Cheney.
Okay, Cheney. Who are you, like Chris Matthews?
Yes.
Trump's lawyer says the president can't obstruct justice. Jeff Sessions once passionately argued otherwise against Bill Clinton. So did McConnell, Grassley, Burr, and Goodlatte. Is that how you say it? Because I always want to say Goodlatte.
Yeah. It's a bad latte.
And about 40 other GOP lawmakers still in office today. Yes, the president, no matter who you are, can and probably has obstructed justice. Nixon did.
Yep.
He got in trouble for it.
I thought I had my clip here of Nixon saying, when the president does it, it means it's not illegal. But I lost it somewhere.
Yeah, see, Trump even plagiarizes that. I mean, you know, between him and his wife, they just plagiarize their buns off. They don't have a single original thought in their head other than maybe the word bigly. But other than that, he cribs off anybody he can. Whoever he heard last, he repeats. He parrots. Anywho, so that's that. John Fugelsang, we love him. He said, with Judge Roy Moore, this Congress finally has a way to screw all your kids.
Ooh. Ooh. That was biting.
It was biting. It was actually kind of more than biting. It was sucking and screwing. Frank Conniff, same as person that I just quoted earlier, he said, if a child molester is necessary to enact your agenda, there's something seriously the fuck wrong with your agenda.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's what's so disconcerting about this. I mean, the Republican Party is about to, or already has, they've just sold its soul, whatever there was of a soul, to elect a child molester to the U.S. Senate.
It's unbelievable. And now, what's his name? Mitch McConnell came out with some kind of a statement about, well, he's going to have to answer to the ethics committee, I guess, or something like that. I can't remember what he said, but that was it essentially. I'm totally paraphrasing it to suit myself, but basically that's what he said. Well, you can't tell, you know, the voters, it's up to you guys, and back off of your condemnation of a child molester and then come back around and say, well, but, you know, the ethics committee will get him. No, you supported him already, McConnell, by backing off your previous statement. So you can't backtrack and blame it on the ethics committee if nothing happens.
Right. But they will, because that's what they do.
You know, what just kills me is I mean, everything you've just said, I'm just sort of reiterating it in my own little way, but they claim, the GOP claims to be the party of family values and whatever else, I can't think of, you know, the God's people and all that other crap. And for them to be supporting somebody who molested teenagers, and this new report that the one of the 17-year-olds that he went after and who willingly went out with him has another handwriting sample that matches the 14-year-old's handwriting sample. And yet they still stand by him. Now, there was a poll out today that said that now these are pretty meaningless, but just still, that said Jones is now 4 points ahead.
He's 3.5 points behind. They're all the bottom line is the polls are all neck and neck. They're all within the margin of error.
They are. It's nice that Jones isn't falling further back. But Yes, and Speedbird 9 in chat says the GOP also claims to be the party of personal responsibility. You know, all of this stuff that they claim to be is on its head. And I don't understand how they're supposed to, and they will recover from this, but how are they supposed to? How are they supposed to get through this? It's so
gerrymandering. Voter,
and I'm not even
voter
talking
suppression.
About winning or losing.
I know, but this is how they stay in power. That's the scary thing. Yeah. Meanwhile,
100%.
Doug Moore is now, he seems to be going on the offensive in this final week. I don't know if you heard, he gave a speech yesterday. I've got a clip that the audio quality isn't that good on it, but he's actually coming out and pointing it at Roy Moore. Thank you. Here's what he said.
For equal work, and I damn sure believe that I have done my part to ensure that men who hurt little girls should go to jail and not the United States Senate.
So he said that.
Doug Jones.
Doug Jones, sorry, said that.
Oh, okay.
That. Yeah, that's what I meant
I thought
to say.
This was, I was going to say, that's Roy Moore.
No, that was Doug Jones about Roy Moore. He's going after Roy Moore now. But I also saw that he gave a speech where he didn't talk about Trump. He didn't talk about anybody but... what he wants to do, what he's planning on here. This is from Robert Costa, who was there, said Democrat Doug Jones gave a speech at noon in Birmingham, Pepper Place, former Dr. Pepper syrup plant. It was a pitch to business-minded Republicans, not a word about Trump, emphasis on his work on civil rights and jobs.
Most of the time, that's what he does. He sticks to the issues, which is why he's doing as well as he's doing, and wisely doing that. And somebody tweeted me today and said, why don't these guys stick to the issues? And I said, one of them is.
Yep.
The other one, Roy Moore, has refused to speak to the regular press, not just his own and he also refuses to debate, and he refuses to talk issues. They have outwardly asked him, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? How do you stand on this? All he'll talk about are wedge issues like abortion. Mm-hmm. He'll talk about his God telling him what to do. His God is not our God, if you even have a God, which I don't. So nobody's God should be telling anyone what to do when it comes to politics, when it comes to holding office. Your God should be irrelevant. You can believe in your God. You can follow, you know, the morals of your God if you believe in one, but do not let that God step on our politics.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, is that Republicans claim to be the party of, you know, the moral high ground. That's why one of the things I love about the Reverend William Barber, that he talks about morality. And it's like these people don't have the monopoly on morality. They don't know what morality is. You know, that's a word we need to take back, because our side has it and theirs doesn't.
Well, then what they'll do is turn around and point to somebody like John Conyers and say, that's your morality, because that's what they do. And everybody is fallible. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying we are the moral party of, you know, perfection. We have a whole lot of people in our party who have done very bad things, and we call them out. We get rid of them. But we are definitely, hopefully, not child molesters. And if there were one in our midst, we would
get rid of them. Yeah.
Yep. So let's stand up for that. All right. So Amy Siskind, who is an activist, she likes to talk about women's rights, LGBTQ rights, all kinds of rights. She said there's a certain justice to the male character in House of Cards getting kicked off for sexual assault and then the woman taking over as president. Take note, America.
I've never been a House of Cards fan. Just I watched, I think, one episode, and it was too close to reality for me. And they were all ugly, distasteful characters. And so I never got into it. But if that's what they're doing, they're killing off of Kevin Spacey's character and giving it to Robin Wright, making her president. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, they were going to just stop production and not do it this year or next year. They came out with that announcement and said, we're done with the show. But then they came back yesterday and said, no, you know what? We decided we're going to keep Mrs. President and get rid of Mr. President. So I stopped watching this season. We watched maybe two of them, and it just got really annoying to watch. So I don't really care one way or the other, but I am glad that they're keeping the woman.
Yeah. Good.
So that is a good point. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Collins, who's with CNN, she said, news, Trump is traveling to Jackson, Mississippi this Saturday for the opening of the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum.
Why?
Because he's a racist asshole. I don't know why.
Because it seems like the last thing that he'd ever want to do. Yeah, this is a guy who doesn't have time to go to Alabama to campaign with Roy Moore, so he's going to Pensacola, Florida, 20 miles away, and you know, in an Alabama media market, and he's going to Jackson, Mississippi this Saturday, but he can't go to Alabama to be with Roy Moore, which I find really weird now that he's come out and fully endorsed him.
That is weird. David Roberts from Vox, he responded to that, the Mississippi thing, and he said, prediction, this is about staging a conflict with black protesters in order to rile up the the racist pro-pedophile vote in Alabama.
There you go.
That makes total sense to me.
Yep. That does.
I wish they would just lock him out. I wish they would, you know, put a big, big, huge, like cartoon padlock on the door and say, not welcome, and just keep it closed for the day and get rid of him. He shouldn't set foot on that property.
Nope. I agree.
Anyway, George Wallace, the comedian, said, didn't know when Republicans called it the Grand Canyon. When Republicans called it the Grand Canyon. They were referring to its sale price and whatnot.
Okay, I don't,
because they're selling off all the
monuments.
That's why.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Grand bargain is sort of what they're getting. I am so distraught over what they're doing to the monuments. We have been vacationing at a bunch of the monuments for the last several years. And we went to Utah, Arizona, you know, the ones in California, the beautiful, 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 beautiful land there, the untouched, pristine, simply drop-dead gorgeous national parks that they were now going to privatize. They want to drill. They want to find more coal and ore and whatever else they can dig out of the ground and destroy. They want to privatize. Oh, they want to privatize spies too.
Yes, they do. They want to like privatize the CIA. Which is truly frightening. This, if there's one piece of news today that should upset you and bother you, it should be that Trump having like a privatized spying network.
Yes, and I have been blasting it on Twitter for 2 days now. It was on The Intercept, and I got one person saying, well, I don't know if I trust The Intercept. I said, oh, please. They have fantastic reporters. You don't have to believe everything they say if you don't believe what they're – you know, this was a somewhat liberal person saying this to me, but their reporting is very, very good, and Ryan Grimm passed it along. And
it's a Jeremy Scahill piece. I trust Jeremy Scahill.
I do too. And I've followed him, you know, his work for years, and he's usually spot on. And so I've been screaming this from the rooftops. It finally got big notice. I got a lot of retweets on it finally. And I was happily surprised to see, of all people, Andrea Mitchell reported on it.
Ah, okay.
She cited Intercept and she said, and she brought it up to one of her guests. I can't recall who it was now, but I was sort of, you know, drying my hair and listening. And I look up and she's talking about it. And she said, I'm going to do more digging to find out what I can find out about that. I said, yay, do that. If this has any weight whatsoever, this should be a huge story.
Yes, it should.
All right. So Holly O'Reilly, an activist and a songwriter, she said, quote, while Republicans were manically outlining their plans to take from the poor to give to the Trumps, they also accidentally nullified all of their corporate donors' favorite deductions. And then she says Senate GOP accidentally killed all corporate tax deductions.
Yeah, they did. And you know what? That just means that that the House can't just take the Senate's bill and approve it wholesale. They have to do this conference thing because they screwed up.
Right. And it's Brian Schatz, or is it Schatz or Schatz? How do you say his name?
Schatz.
I'm sorry?
Schatz.
From Hawaii. Yes. He said, this is the first in a series of errors and scandalous giveaways that will be uncovered over the next few weeks and a direct result of their unwillingness to, in caps, read the bill.
Well, they couldn't, in their defense, they couldn't read the bill because they didn't have the bill. They had it, you know, maybe 20 minutes before they actually started voting on the thing.
And it was huge.
It was over 500 pages. So it was impossible to read. And they were still scribbling changes in the margins, you know, up until the time they voted on it.
Right. They literally hand wrote and it was scrawl. You couldn't. Yep. It was illegible.
Yep.
And they expected, the Democrats to be able to. They didn't obviously expect them to get through this in an hour or two. And I remember who was it that was holding it up and did a YouTube of it? Tester?
John Tester. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he held it up to the camera. He said, can you make out this word? And you couldn't. It was illegible.
Right. And this is, and they yelled and screamed about the Obamacare bill, you know, and how it was so heavy and how big, and they couldn't get through it. Nobody was reading it. And you have to have, 48 hours or 72 hours to read every single bill. If they ever got into power, that's how it's going to be. No.
They did say that, though.
Yeah, they did.
Yep.
And they, of course, they're not holding to anything they said. Of course they're not. Nope. Why would they? They're a bunch of liars. Oh, all right. So our buddy David Dan, he said this is in regard to MSNBC firing Sam Cedar. If this guy gets to the Senate, he might not be able to get on MSNBC for like a week.
MSNBC does like their Republicans, I'll tell you. They put on a lot of them. Yes.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So, the White House is saying reports of Deutsche Bank subpoena are completely false.
Right. That's what I just read to you a few minutes ago. I don't know how they can say that.
Keeps getting...
Right. Yeah. Because that's, I guess, the news coming out of today's press briefing.
That's what it's from. Yeah. That was exactly what it was from. So they're trying to push that. That's interesting.
Yes.
I bet it's not false.
No, I bet it's not false either. This is really getting to Trump because this is hitting his personal and family finances, which is what he said was his red line. And then he said, I don't do red lines.
Yeah, he's such a, it was his attorneys drafted that for him. So to get back to something you were talking about earlier about the KKK versus gay rights, sexual orientation is not a choice. Joining the KKK
exactly.
is a choice.
Exactly. And you know what? My kid came up with that. She said that's the difference that's just somebody just being if you're gay or the color of your skin. We're talking about discrimination. And she said, but you have a choice to join the KKK or something like that. It's true.
And you have a choice to be a bigot. You have a choice to be a racist. You don't. That's not something you're born with. You may be trained to be that way. Your parents may teach you to be that way, but it is not the way you are. And if you're born gay, you're not acquiring it. That's the way you are.
Yep. No,
it drives me crazy, these arguments that we're hearing. And, I do worry. The Millhiser piece that you were quoting from earlier is scaring me to death. He really believes Kennedy is going to go with the conservative end of the SCOTUS.
Yep.
So getting me nervous here.
Yeah. And I saw some people go that he was conflicted, that you could tell Kennedy was conflicted because he thought that the Baker wasn't getting fair treatment from the state of Colorado. But he also believes the gay community is not getting fair treatment from people like the Baker. So
my question is, let's say the court, goes against gay rights here, goes for discrimination against whoever. Now it'll set a precedent. Is there another case that can be brought that can somehow nullify this one in the future?
I don't see why not.
Does it work that way?
Yeah,
it can, right?
Sure, and it could overturn this decision. A decision can be overturned, just like, right now we have Roe v. Wade. They're working on bringing something to the Supreme Court that would overturn Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, that's true. So, good, because I was like going in my head, I was having a little ping pong game in my brain of memory, one memory saying, yes, you can, the other one going, no, you can't. So, I figured as much, but it'll take forever. That's the problem.
Right. And the other problem is that there are... There's a number of justices that are getting on up there in age, from Kennedy to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Who knows how many justices Trump is going to be able to replace?
Well, let's just hope somehow that we can win some elections, in the two houses, and somehow block whatever. I don't know how else we can do anything. We better, people keep, here's a little pet peeve of mine.
Okay.
He's toast. 2018. Yeah. He's toast.
No, he's not.
They're toast.
Right.
No, they're not. They're not toast. There's a real good chance we won't take either house.
There is.
I'm such an optimist, aren't I?
I know. We you know, that's why we got to work on, you know, get registered. If you're not registered yet, get registered now. If you think you're registered, double check and make sure your registration is valid. Make sure you know what kind of ID you need at the polls, because...
And help other people to register.
Exactly. And it's never too early to work on that. Like, get on it now.
Right. Good point.
With that, we are out of time. Gotta laugh. Find her at on the Twitters, at Gotta Laugh, two T's, two F's, and at laffiesplace.com, at NicoleSandler.com. I'm having one of those days, can't you tell?
Okay, thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Tomorrow we're back with another show. I don't yet know who is going to be here, but we'll have somebody fun and fascinating for your listening pleasure. As always, if you've got a spare couple of bucks you can spare... my show is 100% listener funded, and I really can't do it without your help. NicoleSandler.com/donate. Thanks as always for listening. I'll see you tomorrow right here at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.